The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
My good afternoon. We're on Man in Line today. Open line, call 66 13 68. Text and WhatsApp on 166 177. Email studio at manxradio.com. Did you go to Ballacameen High School last night? Did you go to the roadshow? Did you have a chat? What was your experience? A quick note, by the way, I don't know whether you heard that Douglas's lifeboat is out of service, suffering a technical delay, RNLI, hoping to have a temporary replacement within the coming weeks. Apparently, the vessel suffered a failure. The quickest, most effective way to restore the service, they say, is to return the former lifeboat, the Ruby Clary, back to the Manx capital on a temporary basis while repairs on the current lifeboat are undertaken. Ruby Clary had to undergo an intensive period of maintenance. It's going to be lifted back into the water this week ahead of sea trials before returning to Douglas. RNLI say they're confident there's sufficient lifeboat coverage around the Isle of Man because of neighbouring stations at Port St Mary and Ramsey, but that's that particular situation. Here's David with us first on Man in Line today. Hi, David.
Hi, Andy. Just to let you know, I was there last night at the meeting. My disappointment is when there's a population between Douglas and Onchan of 35,000 approximately, right? We only had about 60 or 70 people there. But to my thing, I've never met so many people in all my life who say to us, I listened to you on the radio. I'm not blowing my own trumpet. He said, you bring up issues which they're afraid to talk about and, won't get on the radio. And I would encourage people, if you've got something you want to say, to come on to Andy. He's very gentle, as far as I'm concerned, anyway. But success on two issues we've had running for a long time. One of the camper vans is set to go to heaven. I've sent you the picture. Which has got their DOT enforcement notice on it. Now, the criteria on that is, I've asked for the criteria on that particular vehicle, so it gives you, something to look at for the future to say, does the next one comply with this criteria they've already used? Because they've ticked the box, as you see, it's causing an offence. And I would have thought it was abandoned, but never mind, they're the experts. And the other one is, well, there's two. I was up at the hospital the other day. There's a new shelter there to let everybody know.
Wow.
And the one at Jack has had new bits put on, but it's a shame they didn't clean the roof when they left. So if anybody's listening in DOI, there's always somebody listening in DOI, Andy, to tell you the truth.
I noticed that you kindly sent me a photo of the one at Port Jack. Also, the whole area, the hard standing around it and what have you, it looks a bit scruffy. And is that a salt bin next to it, the yellow salt bin?
Well, yeah, I wasn't going to mention it, but that's down to the DOI.
Right.
I've asked them in a few places in around Onchan, never mind the capital or elsewhere when you're travelling about. The salt bins are a disgrace. And all they've got to do, and I'm not an expert on it, but I'm very practical. We've got all these sweepers going around, haven't we, DOI sweepers? And on the back of them, they have what we call a lance, a high-pressure lance for cleaning drains or squirting muck or, accidents happen. You can clean the road with it and stuff like that. All they've got to do is put a bit of water on them. They probably have to spray stuff on first, Andy, and then flush them out. Yeah. And they probably look... thing. We've got one in the main road where the Isle of Man Bank used to be. It's an absolute disgrace.
Well, the one at Port Jack is absolutely filthy.
Yeah, you're right on that. But I wanted to skip on a little bit if I can, and I'll be off shortly. But it's been brought to my attention. Oh, I must say, there were several ministers there last night and chief executives I didn't see the DOI chief executive there, but never mind. Had a go, and Mr. Klukas at the next to the end questions. But that's the only criticism. James Davis was think was great. I'll put a star on his cap for that. But the Mr. Klukas asked the question about the 20 mile an hour speed limit, and the whole 65 of us, all of us, I'm sure, clapped. And there's answers to be had in the future of what the council ministers were involved in that one. I'm certain on that anyway. But I want to talk about, I had a guy this morning talking to me on the phone. He probably seen me last night. He's a major business, I won't mention his name, but he's into gas and oil. And he said to me, he said, David, next time you're on, can you mention this? And I said, oh, pity you didn't tell me last night. I could have went straight to the education minister. But she's on in a week's time, isn't she?
She will be, yes.
So we can ask the question in advance, and I know government's always listening to you to record the issues you've got, is apprentices and how are we training oil and gas apprentices now, giving them accreditation. I'm led to believe by the, I was talking this morning to this fella, and he said to me, there's an agency which is prepared to come to the Isle of Man, and all they want is, do you remember some time ago when even Julie was there, couldn't do anything, they want a place at the college where they can actually have the lads and young fellas learning the skill on the island, yeah, instead of having to go across. If you're an employer and you lose your man for about 4 or 5 days, what's that costing you? There's no recompense from government to say. And shouldn't we have the ability to credit? There's a lot of guys, and I'll say it out there, all these old guys will know me and it'll be nice. They're all going to retire. There's a lot of them either packing in or retiring and saying, I've had enough of this jobs and stuff like that. I want to take life easier. And we're going to cause an issue, aren't we? We're never going to have people accredited to do work on the Isle of Man. And there's loads of gas boilers, oil boilers, the latest technology coming forward. What is the college doing about it?
So let's just get it straight then. At the moment, anybody who's an apprentice or wants to skill up in maintenance of oil and gas boilers, or as you say, the new technology coming through, they have to go across. Is that right?
Yeah, they have to take their tests and get the accreditation on it, because it doesn't last forever. Even if you've got a certificate, it only lasts, I think, about 18 months, and then you have to renew it. So remember then, there were some employees that were brave enough to come on. And maybe some of the employees are listening to me on the radio and on Manx Radio. And there's one tonight, isn't it, down south?
In Castle Rushen,
with the ministers.
Yeah.
And if I can encourage some, go to a minister. It's a funny thing. I talked to the chief minister last night. I won't tell you what I said to him, but some of it wasn't complimentary. He was all right, but some of his colleagues were a bit down the scale a little bit. But I would encourage anybody who's an employer and is struggling, not getting any help, you need to talk to the ministers and say, look, for a few thousand quid, you can get this young fella through on a skills test. And there's loads of them wanting employed. This is the time of year where they're all looking for jobs, aren't they?
Yeah.
Andy?
Okay.
But it was a great night, as far as I'm concerned. They're good things. Disappointed out of 35,000. We had less than 70, 80 were there.
Interesting. But I'm trying to remember. Were you in Keys when Alan Bell was Chief Minister?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. He had some of those roadshows, and I seem to remember they were packed.
Yeah, they were. And we didn't have the same problems, I don't think. We had the banks struggling. One of the things I must mention to one of the guys I was talking to last night, who's well-heeled more than me, actually, he said to me, the difficulty is still in opening a bank account. We've still got, and I'll say it, the Isle of Man Bank stressing out charities regarding compliance. And it's a shame I didn't ask the question to the Treasury Minister, but maybe you can in the future. He said to him, what are they doing to support organisations who are charities and churches? I know one particular church, I won't mention them, have been struggling until Rob Collister got involved, and it's now on a straight and narrow to it. And it's not the church's fault, it's the banks.
All right.
Because they won't talk to you.
Appreciate it. Thanks, David.
See you. Bye.
It is now 16 minutes past 12, and Wilf's with us. Hi, Wilf.
It's only a short one, but it's a very, very important one. And I'm surprised that nobody's brought it up. So I thought, as a commissioner from Ramsey, I'd better throw me two pence in. Ramsey Swing Bridge.
It's not opening until the 1st of August, is it?
Well, I wouldn't say the 1st of August. I don't know. I don't know what year that would be. But no one has been down to even look at it, as far as I can see. There's nobody been anywhere near it to do anything about it. Now, a hole's appeared in the middle of it. And so they won't allow traffic over it. Now, it's a long, long time since I hid under the bridge, so I can't tell you exactly what it's made, but I believe it's wood underneath. It's wooden beams and what have you, and they've gone rotten. That's what I was, a fella told me the other day, and I don't know the thing to believe this. It's right as far as I know. It's got to be that anyway. But the thing was, the strange thing is, I seen it years ago getting covered by a sort of rubber substance that was put down like tarmac. But it was a rubber coating and made a really nice job of it. But the thing was, it used to be, which has disappeared, a 10 mile an hour speed limit on it and a 2-ton weight limit. Now, me being in lorries, I looked at this and I thought, but that tanker that's got, it weighs 10 tons. And that was on it. That was on the bridge, and that never fell through it. But there's nothing actually been touched or done, as far as I can see. Nobody's been near it. All there is a sign for to allow foot passengers through,
yeah,
and not traffic. And that takes the traffic, or a lot of the traffic, to the north. Because we now put all the traffic on the Stone Bridge. And that, of course, makes Bowden Road even more busy. Which is ridiculously busy at the moment, but there we are.
So, I just wonder
why somebody hasn't done anything.
Well, DOI, the word is the DOI say it's going to be open on the 1st of August. So, we don't know. So, what do you think what's gone wrong with it? What is it? Is it this hole in the bottom?
No, there's a hole appeared in it, and they said that the bottom of it is rotten. It's made of wood. The roadway part is wood. But I haven't, as I said, it's a long, long time since I hid under it, so I can't really remember, actually. We used to hide our fishing tackle under there, and so it's like 100 years since I was under there. But I don't know what's gone on, but nothing, as far as I can see, has been touched.
Right.
So what August is going to be, I wouldn't know.
Well,
I can't see it getting fixed by August.
Well, the thing is, if the DOI do go underneath it, maybe they can find your fishing tackle, Wilf.
Oh no, I've got my fishing tackle. No, I didn't leave it under there. Okay. We used to hide it under there, and we used to hide our mussels for bait, for fishing in the harbour, which was kept in a pole, believe it or not, a tin pole for putting under the bed. That's what we used to hide it in.
Okay.
So,
all right, well.
So there you go.
We'll try and find out. Thanks for calling today.
Okay.
Cheers.
All right.
All right, look at that time, 20 past 12. Anne's with us now. Hi, Anne.
Hi, Andy. Just a quick one, really. I've been this morning with a group called Singing Joes, which has singing sessions around the island for preschool children. And we had a special session arranged this morning by Joe to go aboard the galleon that is tied up at the Victoria Pier.
Oh, the Andalusia.
Yes, yeah, that's right. Unfortunately, when 30 children, parents, grandparents, and other members of the public turned up for their session at 10 o'clock, which had been pre-booked and pre-arranged, we were told we couldn't board because the tide was out. Now, that was pretty annoying, to be And very disappointing for everybody involved. However, it seems that it was okay for some dignitaries from Douglas Town Hall or City Hall to be able to go on board, but not all the children that had specially dressed up and made an occasion of it, and for Joe, who had organised the session.
Are they hoping to go on later? Can they go on later at all?
We have been told that we can go on at 9:30 on Friday, but you'll appreciate that having organised children and other playgroups and other commitments and things, it's pretty difficult for people to just rearrange these things.
So how come they didn't know what the tide was?
Well, blow me down, we live on an island that has a very big tide, there's some lack of communication somewhere. I don't know where, because actually nobody came out. It was only on word of mouth that we were told that we were rearranged. Nobody came to give any explanation. And it was altogether very disappointing.
Oh, dear. But as you say, the dignitaries managed to make it down the gangplank.
Yes, apparently, yes, yeah. There was a gold chain away in the distance there. But we have been told that we can go on Friday, but it's closed for the rest of the day today. Now, what difference will be, apart from a variation in tide on Friday, but I can't see that it can make that much difference. Somewhere somebody shot themselves in the foot.
All in all, very disappointing, Anne.
Yeah, very disappointing for those families involved, and I just wanted other people to know that if they're thinking of going today, don't bother, because that perhaps they've been cancelled by now, but we were cancelled with 13 minutes notice.
Oh dear.
By which time we were already all there.
Well, I can heartily recommend singing Joe's, because my grandson goes.
It's marvellous. It's a wonderful facility, and Joe and her mates just give so much love and attention and passion to what they do, and it's great to support them, but unfortunately on this occasion we ended up having a session in the sea terminal instead.
Okay, so was this the ship or the docks people, the harbour people who decided?
I don't know. As I say, we weren't given an awful lot of information. It was just come back Friday if you can. We rebook your ticket. So there we are. Okay.
Appreciate it, Anne.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling today.
Thank you. Now
this is the news of the galleon. It's the Andalusia. It's a full scale replica of a 17th century Spanish galleon. Currently touring Europe. It's on the Isle of Man today by the King Edward. The Victoria Pier, and soon to begin an American tour, but she's here today. It's a floating museum showcasing Andalusian maritime heritage and the history of the ships, these type of ships that connected continents. It's known for its historical accuracy and the ability to sail and participate in major international festivals and events. Just a shame they couldn't get Singing Joe's on board today, because that would have been something special. I want to go to, I think it's Juan with us now. Hi, Juan.
I thought that was the replacement for the Mananin, Andy.
Well, there we are. It could have been, or it could have been the new Douglas lifeboat.
Indeed so. Interesting, just a few points there. Just looking at the threads coming through on the internet and Manx Radio and stuff. What's Elvis is home?
Yes, after 5 weeks.
Yep, what a great holiday. 329 likes for Elvis.
Yes.
And Dusty's had a GoFundMe page, so he's been able to afford a cabin on the way home from Devon.
Yes. Apparently, Arch Alligan's now on TripAdvisor.
Let's hope they get better ratings than what the hotels are getting for night stays. And looking at the government conference, we had 40-odd in the night before last and 50 in the night before. And I'm comparing that with Katie Hopkins, sold out tonight, 200. Katie Hopkins, sold out tomorrow night, 200. So where's the disjoint here? We've got 50 people going talking to our government. So is it the fact that they feel that they can make no difference by going? Is it apathy? Because when you look at people like Katie Hopkins, who's expressing what the majority of people are feeling in England at the moment, and she's sold two sold-out shows here and selling out everywhere around England. So I'm just wondering where the where the balance is here. You know, when we've only got 50 people, listen to our ministers.
Well, I wonder. Yeah, we were talking about this in the office today as to why, when, you know, is it that the majority of people are perfectly happy and don't want to miss Coronation Street or Emmerdale, or why is it? Why would you think?
And I don't know. And you know what? The government spin doctors will put that down to a successful show because no one turned up to complain. That's what the spin will be. But we know from the people that we listen to that that's not the case. So is it just a case that people feel that everything's a done deal and it's a waste of time talking and they're just going to wait and vote with their feet next September? Is that the case, that they feel it's that far down the line? And I've got to say again, the presentation, like David said, was well presented. I spent time with afterwards with Daphne Kane, Claire Christian, Claire Barber, Andrew Smith and Alf Cannon. And I don't think any of these people go in with any idea of doing something wrong to the island. I think they're all passionate. I just think that the bureaucracy and government just ties everyone up. The system ties you down when you get inside there. So there's got to be a radical change within government. There will be a new party coming up for the next election, but there's got to be a change. And I questioned Tim Johnson last night, along with Jane Poole Wilson, on things that's happening. And Tim Johnson says about a 10-year plan. Well, we've got to get through the next few years. It's not the 10-year plan that really is the thing here. We've got the data modellers busy earning lots of money telling us what's going to happen in 10 years. But we've got a housing crisis with our younger people. You know, we've got money streams which is not coming into the island. All sorts of things which need to be addressed, like here and now. Not this 10-year plan, which is great, but it's not happening for us now.
Well, what was the mood like at Bala?
I think, as the Chief Minister would say, is measured, I think. There was a couple of good questions from the floor, but again, the question and answer is very short. I had to sword fence last night on questions I'd asked the night before because there's no time to come back on questions. You know, you deliver your question, you get an answer, and then it moves on because the question time, again, is so short. You know, we've got about an hour 15 on the floor, and even though there's not a lot of people there, it's still an hour 15 goes very quickly when you're engaged in conversation or the ministers are telling you what their plan is. So, you know, people were there with interest. But again, I think it would be nice, I think, maybe if Alf said, you know, I'm going to do a State of the Nation address every month and tell people what's happening and where we're going. There's definitely a disconnect there with government, and I think, and we know civil servants are running the ship at the moment, so there's definitely going to be some change. But going on to success there, David said about success and the camper vans, and I've got to say I seen a van on the promenade yesterday with flashing lights on, and I thought they're going to do something with them railings on the promenade, and lo and behold, Andy, they put safety tape up on them.
Oh,
after
wow.
3 years.
Well, there we are.
We've had success. We've had success. I'm just wondering how long it's going to be before they get ripped off. But we've had success. There you go.
Lessons have been learned. That's the important thing.
Maybe. And maybe if for tonight at I think it's at Arbury tonight, isn't it?
It's Castletown? No, it's Castle Rushen.
That'll be a busy one, I think, with the wind turbines. But maybe if they want to get more people in, they could maybe bring Kneecap over or something. That'll get some more people in, won't it?
Thanks, Stu, and good to hear from you.
Take care, Andy.
12:30.
You can get the best of everything, and the price is just as nice.
Oh, I'm so glad we went to Pacesetter. The perfect shower, some great tiles, all the accessories we needed. They had it all. Amazing ranges from traditional to modern, many exclusive to Pacesetter. Get your bathroom on song. Visit the Pacesetter showrooms at Harris Terrace and Spring Valley.
You can get the best of everything.
Nearly as good as me.
Order! Order! In this case for Manx Car Store, let's review the facts. Firstly, you handpick an excellent range of quality cars for all budgets, are a trusted car sourcing specialist, you knowingly open 7 days a week, and are subject to an excessive number of five-star web reviews. How do you plead?
Guilty.
Very well. This court hereby declares Manx Car Store five-star.
Don't take their word for it. Find out for yourself. Visit manxcarstore.com or find them on Facebook.
The Heroes of Man Awards, brought to you by A Little Piece of Hope charity. Nominations recognising and awarding local children's champions on the Isle of Man are now open. Nominations close Sunday, 24th of August. For more information on how you can nominate your hero or heroes, go to alittlepieceofhope.com and nominate a Hero of Man today. That's alittlepieceofhope.com. The Heroes of Man Awards are taking place on the 22nd of November at Woodbourne House Douglas at 6:30 p.m. This advert has been supported by Cayman National Bank in the Isle of Man. Banking services built on relationships. And your nation station, Manx Radio.
Hi, this is Chris Pearson. Join me and Christy De Haven chatting with Sir Barry Gibb about the Bee Gees and growing up on the Isle of Man.
I think Robert wanted some kind of visual idea for Jive Talking, and so we did that. Maybe the Douglas Bay Hotel.
What would you like the Bee Gees' legacy to the Isle of Man to be?
That the two are connected completely. That's what I'd like to see, and I'd like everyone to know that that's where it began for us.
Brought to you by Manx National Heritage.
Hi, this is Barry Gibb. Join me on Manx Radio with Christy De Haven and Chris Pearce.
Tim Wald Holiday Monday from 6, and available afterwards as a podcast at manxradio.com.
When the summer day is over.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
I just got an email from Manx, not me, but Texter 345, and a paper bill apparently is going up £4 per month. How much does it cost to send it? Only coming from Douglas, £4 for a Manx Telecom paper bill. Okay, oh, it's Julie with us now. It's Julie Edge. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Andy. Hello.
You're live on air, Julie.
Hi, Andy. I just want to phone up to take away some of the incorrect facts that quite frequently get stated on your programme without challenge. But I just want to make it very clear that the training for gas, plumbing, etc. at University College is still up and operating. I've just checked it with the department, and there is a contractor in place to ensure that they can get their accreditation. So a bit more challenge for some of the callers against what's really happened. It was put in place. I heard the small little snipe when Julia was there. So I just want you to make sure that the correct facts are out there. The college are still continuing with the gas training at the college.
Okay.
And I understand the contract is still in place with the provider to ensure they get their accreditation.
And is that ongoing?
Well, clearly the contract, you know, probably is a 3-year period, something like that. We'll have to be re-tendered, but,
right.
You know, it's an ongoing process. Because clearly, obviously, we're still putting gas boilers in some of the new, well, we were putting them in some of the new houses. So, you know, gas safety training is going to be key going forward for the future. So until we don't have to do it on the island, I would expect it to remain. But clearly that's not my responsibility now. But I just wanted it to be very clear that it was put back in place at Isle of Man College.
Okay, it's there
and
now.
Please challenge David. Let's have less bias. Challenge him a bit more.
I don't know whether how to point this out. This is an opinion program.
Yeah, but you do challenge some callers, and you know it'd be really helpful. On government policy areas like that, I think it's really important that we have the correct facts out for the public. So, you know, I'm happy to call up any time. This is the first opportunity I've actually got through to you. So, thank you, Andy, for taking my call.
And you're always welcome, Julie. Thanks for calling today. 25-1 now. Any measures introduced into saving lives is good. As to why we have so much negativity against the 20 miles per hour, I think it's one-sided, says Big John in Ramsey. And it's hopeless going to these roadshows. Will they listen to you? It won't change what they have in mind. 64 went to Ramsey, but after 45 minutes, half the people left, says 60. That's an opinion, by the way. It's not fact. I wasn't there, so I can't check it. Brian's, thank you, crikey, thanks for waiting, Brian. You've been there for ages.
Oh, you wake me up now, Andy. Yes, I've got to start by apologising to my postman. The poor beggar's had to carry all this paperwork through because I asked for a nomination pack for Onchan Commissioner's by-election. And it has been delivered. And I've opened it up, and there is a very informative 30-page candidate information pack. And then I look at Form 1, which is the by-election nomination paper with all the required signatories, and it asks for my surname, forename, place of residence, telephone number, and that. And then I go to the second form, which is Form 2, which asks for my surname, forename, address, telephone number, and they want to know what land or buildings I own, what stocks or shares I have, what legal rights of more than £50,000 in value I hold, what directorships, consultancies and management roles, what sponsorships, what gifts and benefits in kind, what authorships and what memberships I have. So I'd have the second form to fill out before I could go any further with it. Oh, look, there's Form 3 here. Form 3 is the appointment of an election agent. Fill in my name, forename, address, telephone number, constituency, all the rest of it, and then a list of all the details that may be required if I was to have somebody go to the polling station with me. And then we've got the declaration of donations received on page 4, form 4, which is a three-page document. That's my surname, forenames, address, telephone number, etc., etc. And that asks me for any donations that I've made and how much, just in case I'm trying to bribe anybody. And have I made any donations anonymously? Oh, look, here's Form 5. And this one is declaration of expenses. And it asks for my surname, forenames, address, telephone number, polling district. And I have to make a list of any monies that I spend, because if I spend more than £2,150.54 by the looks of things, I'd be exempt, because you're not allowed to spend more than that to be elected. And then finally, Form 6. Declaration of donations by candidates in the by-election to Onchan District Commissioners on the 7th of August 2025. Fill out your name, forenames, address, telephone number, authority. Please tick the following boxes below. And this is a three-page document. This is bureaucracy gone absolutely raving mad.
Did you have to fill in as many forms last time, Brian?
No. No, I don't ever remember filling out so much paperwork in the past. In fact, I was the first person in the history of Onchan to actually furnish the clerk with a declaration of my interests, members' interests. It wasn't obligatory and nobody else had done it. But having sat on, I think it was 184 companies for Albert, I thought I'd better let them know that I'm quite involved in a variety of things. And I furnished them with all of that the last time round. Of course, this all escapes into the public whether you like it or not. You can go onto the Commissioner's website and have a look and see what members' interests have been declared by the sitting members. Now, I don't mind telling people a little bit about myself, but to be in local politics where you tidy up the dog poo and make sure the lights are on, get the bins emptied, it's not rocket science. And I really feel that to expose yourself to all of this information being scattered abroad randomly is unnecessary. There was a time when there was a little bit of honesty with commissioners, but that's going by the by, certainly the way things have gone recently in Onchan. And I just feel that getting this swatch of documents drop on your mat a prospective candidate reading through that will certainly be finding it daunting and off-putting and a little bit over the top.
Is it going to put you off?
Ah, now, thereby hangs the tale. I don't know. I've put my nomination, or I'm going to put my nomination paper in, much to the displeasure of my son and several people around me. And there is a possibility that I might not go the full distance. Having said that, somebody has got to sort out some of the issues here, not only at local level, but at a national level. We've spent the family silver, and we're squandering our way through cash at an alarming rate. And we're expanding the government payroll day on, day out, and it can't be sustained in the long term. This island cannot carry on in the way that it's going. Now, as you know, I've studied business and been in business for most of my life and accrued quite a little bit of equity along the way, and I'm very pleased about that. But in government, nobody seems to be bothered about making any savings at all. Our MHKs in the past struggled hard in some bad years, but managed to put a little bit of money aside for that rainy day. Well, I didn't see the rainy day, but by God, the money's gone. Where is it flooding off to? Big fat pensions? Oh, I have no problem with the minimum wage, but what an imposition on the private sector that is. It's very easy if you can just demand what you need to operate a business. But in the real world, it can't work that way. There are maximums that you go to that people can afford. Onken, I've looked at, since I left, their costs are spiraling out of control and above inflation. And that can't go on. We can't expect the ratepayers to just keep forking out because of inefficiencies and errors and all the rest of the nonsense that goes with these local authorities. We've had more clerks in that office, and they've all ended up in legal battles and settlements, and we're paying for that. And what's that all about? Okay. Thank goodness we've got one that's half decent at the moment. But I feel sorry for Ross, because he's trying to run the authority. He hasn't had the background experience, so he's picking it up on the way, and it needs somebody in there to guide him and say to Ross on a daily basis, what savings can you make today?
Okay.
If you can't justify it, you can't keep throwing money at it.
All right. Brian, we appreciate it. Two P's in application, by the way.
Is there? Yeah. You've got my form somewhere, haven't you?
Thanks for calling.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Hi, Liz. I see you've had your garage converted.
We're desperate for more room.
Yes. Come through and have a look. John called Manx Property Conversions. We now have an extra bedroom, but it could be another reception room, kids' playroom or office. They also did our conservatory roof last year. We were so impressed, we got them back to convert the garage.
Wow, I need that. What's their number again?
Call MPC on 450500. That's 450500. Or find them on Facebook at Manx Property Conversions.
Suffering with joint pain or severe migraines? Whether it's from an injury or ongoing illness, you don't have to suffer in silence. The Crowther Clinic at Hospice Isle of Man in Strang offers expert private pain management tailored to you. And the best part? Every penny of profit goes straight to supporting free hospice care for our community. Take control of your pain and feel like yourself again. Visit crowtherclinic.im or call 647 450. Crowther Clinic. Private care with purpose.
I've just locked in the perfect savings rate with Guernsey Bank Skipton International's 4.25% fixed rate bond, which matures on the 2nd of June 2026.
That sounds like a smart move to secure my savings potential.
With a minimum deposit of £100,000, your money's secure and growing steadily, and their professional team will guide you every step of the way.
Right, I'm ready to secure my future with Skipton today.
OK, for details on all of Skipton's savings products, just call 01481 730 730. Or visit skiptoninternational.com.
Skipton International is licensed to take deposits by the GFSC and is a participant in the Guernsey Banking Deposit Compensation Scheme. See dcs.gg.
This coming Monday, celebrate Tynwald Day here on Manx Radio. We start our special programmes at 9.15, when John Moss takes a look at the history of the ancient open-air Tynwald ceremony. We'll then cross live to St John's at 9.45 for coverage of all the ceremonial proceedings throughout the morning. And from 2 o'clock, we'll bring you a flavour of the Fairfield during the afternoon. At 5.30, we present a brand new edition of the now almost three times award-winning IM1, our satirical look behind the scenes at the nation's station and politics. And at 6 o'clock, Chris Pearce and Christy De Hayden will be in conversation with Sir Barry Gibb as he shares some very special memories of the Bee Gees and growing up on the Isle of Man. Tynwald Day this Monday on Manx Radio and at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Is it true that tonight is Castle Rushen High School prom? Because it's the roadshow tonight at Castle. Right. I think the reason the attendances are lower than normal for the roadshow at this time of the year is they're held... it's the sunny weather. It should be held when it's colder. It's a thought. Coops is on now. Hello, Coops.
Hello there, Andy. Hello, everybody. I've just got a quick question. It must have been your last year, you had your chief of police on your wonderful programme and doing his bit, which is very good. But one thing's been playing on my mind ever since. He said, because of what's coming. And this was picked up by one of your wonderful callers, and he asked the question, but we didn't really get an answer. I'm just wondering what he meant by because of what's coming.
What was that in response to? What was the context of it?
I don't know. It was in his speech. He was doing a speech. You had him on your programme.
Yeah.
And he said the words, because of what's coming. And like I say, one of your callers questioned that, what he meant, but we didn't get an answer. I'm just wondering what the answer was. And is it anything to do with the your high-rise block of flats you've got coming there? Your skyscraper.
The one thing he certainly was talking about was, and I know he's very conscious of this, is it's the amount of drugs that are coming to the Isle of Man. And he's very, because of where he was before, I think, in West Yorkshire, he's very conscious of the fact that the Isle of Man is behind the UK in terms of drug penetration and drugs gangs and county lines and this, that and the other. So I know he's very conscious of that. Maybe it was that he was talking about.
I don't know. Perhaps we can get an answer. Or is it something to do with the illegal immigrants you've got coming? That's why why you're building your skyscraper, maybe.
No, first of all, the skyscraper's 10 years away. They're going to build it. Crikey, it's got to be funded and go through planning before that. That'll be a long time away. All right. Anyway, good to hear from you, Coops. Thanks for calling today. I want to go to Kevin's with us now. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Andy. How are you doing?
Very well, thanks. What's on your mind?
Yeah, you're right. Don't call them very often, but I just felt compelled to phone after Julie Edge came on.
Yeah.
I think she's forgotten something, because I spoke to... This is in regards to the gas certification and boiler servicing. I think David Quirk often comes on talking about this, and he's got a very good point. It's often overlooked, the ongoing training and CPD. And this isn't just becoming qualified, it's the ongoing training that's required after you become qualified to keep up with the regulations. Now, Julie Edge just came on there before and she spoke about the gas, but she didn't mention the electrical. Now, the electrical as well is very important. And I spoke to the training provider last year when this was started, when they got the training provider in to do this, but they don't do electrical. So it's still quite difficult to get qualified as an electrician on the islands. And I don't know now whether they've sorted out the trade tests, but there were problems there too. But also, if you're looking at training further ongoing CPD in terms of updating the regulations, and also further qualifications to do with inspection and testing. As far as I'm aware, that cannot be done on the island at the moment, or it's very difficult, and you have to go away. So she's addressed the issues with the gas, but not the electrical. Now, they go hand in hand. If you're looking at supporting the construction sector, you need to be doing both. I just wondered if she had thought of that, and if she might like to come back on and to speak about that further.
So how is that handled at the moment?
As far as I'm aware, if you want to do the regulations update to the BS7671, which we are currently, I think, on the 18th edition, Amendment 3, they do run courses occasionally at the college, but it's very difficult to get on them. But if you're wanting to do, for example, the City and Guilds 2391 or 2392 inspection and testing, that's no longer done on the island, as far as I'm aware, last time I checked anyway. You have to go away, and it's a very expensive course.
And also the time you have to spend off the island.
It's a long course as well. You're looking at maybe a week or more, maybe two or three visits if you want to get through it. Now, I think they did used to do it on the island. I qualified on the island, but I don't know now whether you can. The AM2 test centre was down at Hills Meadow. It was at Tremode. Last time I looked, it was not in operation, but it's, again, it might have just been overlooked, or whether Julie Edge has been looking at this. But I do know the college has started to reduce the number of degree courses as well. Health and social care was one of them, which was surprising. But getting back to the electrical side, it might be something that she may have overlooked, or maybe she might be working on. I don't know, but I'd love for her to come back on and comment on that, and okay, hopefully if she is listening to us.
Appreciate
still
it
at this time.
Thanks, Kevin. Thanks for calling today.
You're welcome. Thanks, Andy.
Cheers. Now, the Isle of Man Bank customer services in Douglas is nearly non-existent, says Pat. 10 o'clock this morning, queue out of the door. Here again now, and it's the same situation. Only one cash counter open. With my card being scrapped, it's going to result on those on benefits or pension having issues getting benefits without long waits. What can government do to get the Isle of Man Bank issue sorted? Says Pat, and Sue's with us now. Hi, Sue.
Hi, Andy. I went to the Monday meeting at Ramsey,
yeah,
listening to you. There were more people there to start with, but it was the format in which they did it that made some people leave, because they decided that the individual questions from individual people to individual ministers should happen first. And so anybody who wasn't wanting to speak to individual ministers had to wait for an hour and a half before the actual Q&A time was there. People did start to call for it to be swapped around so that the Q&A happened first, which might have answered some of the individual questions. But the answer came that they thought that some people might have wanted to have gone home for their tea first before coming back at 7 o'clock for the Q&A. But, I mean, to me, that's a bit of a pathetic reason for holding the Q&A at 7 o'clock and making people wait an hour and a half before the Q&A happened.
Was it worth it, Sue?
I don't know. I'm going to the one in Peel on Thursday as well, because it's the first one that I've ever been to, the Monday one, and I wasn't sure what happened and what the structure was. I wasn't brave enough to sit there in the Q&A and ask a question. It can be intimidating, and it does take a bit of guts to sit there and ask a question in front of other members of the public to politicians. I mean, I don't understand the political language. It's all a different language to me. I am starting to understand some of it. I don't think I ever will understand it fully, but I just feel that this government is letting us down time after time after time, and it's just constantly carrying on. And that, I mean, some of the answers, they probably are okay, but they're not going to ever be the answers that we're looking for, because they're not rectifying the big issues that we've got quickly enough. There's too much legislation in it, and they're all trying to get things through in through the back door, like Michelle Hayward with her 20 miles an hour and everything. They're trying to get them in through the back door without following the proper regulations or legislation or whatever you want to call it. And I think that's probably why there was also the lack of the numbers of people there. It wasn't advertised very well. I let people know from work that I was going to it, and they were going, what's that all about? What's that then? So they hadn't heard about it. And I think people are just so fed up with this government that they feel that it doesn't matter what you say to them. They're just going to carry on their merry little way and do whatever they want to do. They're not talking to the public properly. They're not listening to the public properly, finding out what they want. They're just carrying on in their own little political world and just doing what they want.
OK. All right, Sue. Thanks for calling today.
Okay, thank you.
It's 4 minutes before one on Manx Radio, just about out of time. So let me tell you again then. Tonight, Castle Russian High School in Castletown. Tomorrow, QE2 High School in Peel. Doors open 5:15, event starts at 5:30, finishes at 8 o'clock. Take some sandwiches if you want. Each venue is accessible and there's on-site car parking. If you want to meet Comin, the Council of Ministers, they will be there. Taxation, travel, mental health, immigration, anything you want to talk about. 20 miles per hour. The Chief Minister is going to be there. Ministers will be there. And they'd like to see you there. Francis says, I think the roadshows are a waste of time. The low numbers just show how fed up the public are. It's a selected audience. I don't think they're selected. Anybody can show up and cherry-pick questions, says Francis. Well, don't think so either. Anyway, you can make your own mind up by going to Castletown tonight. Maybe you should go to the prom at the same time, or QE2 tomorrow. Great news on the Isle of Man, a fantastic achievement. Tracy Connor, the hospice gardener, won first prize at the 2025 UK Palliative Care Awards in London on Friday in the ancillary class for all her hard work. Well done, Tracy, for that. Congratulations. Next Wednesday, a week today, it's DESC in Daphne Kane, MHK, the Minister, Sarah Maltby, Political Member, and Paul Crane, MLC, Political Member. And 2 weeks next Tuesday, Alfred Cannon, MHK, Chief Minister, will be on Man in Line. Thanks to Chris on the phones today. WINT.